It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yep, let's do this. Tim Hasselbeck every Wednesday at high noon. Timmy, what's going on?
What's up? How are you?
What's new and exciting in your world? Ready for a little football?
Ready for football, yep. Got a couple game assignments for my college responsibilities for next week. And also getting ready for some NFL coverage. Going to figure out how I'm going to, view the games. Cause I haven't watched NFL games from home, in 10 years.
Wow.
So I have to figure out how I'm going to, get that set up.
So you've been in Bristol?
Got a lot going on. I typically watch games in a big room that we call the war room. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it's a big wall with every game and everything you could ever, imagine in terms of, needing to, see what's going on. So we just try to replicate that.
Are you allowed to let the cat out of the bag on any of your college games, or does that need to be hush-hush for now?
I don't know that it needs to be hush-hush. I guess I'll just put it this way, not set in stone, but I believe you guys know how to do games on the ACC network, and the season kicks off with Miami versus University of Alabama Birmingham, and then there's a game Saturday, which is Western Kentucky at Louisville. So, some close-by teams that I might get the chance to look at.
And so you're doing this you're doing this in studio. Are you going? What was the setup again?
Well, so it depends. It depends. Some games will be broadcast from home. Like, remember some of the Korean baseball stuff?
Yes.
You probably had seen, and Carl Ravitch, and guys were doing some stuff from home. So sometimes that will be the case, and sometimes people will be, at the stadium. I think it all all depends on where people are located, the ability to travel. There's a lot of factors that go into it. And so, I know that the people at ESPN have done kind of an amazing job of just even trying to figure out what is possible and what's not possible. And obviously, the slate of games will be different with some of these conferences not playing.
Right.
But there's still enough to logistically try to pull off, right? So, I just kind of give you an example. I know, I think it was Greg McElroy or somebody, I saw an interview that he did where basically he was saying, like, if he were to, this was before the Pac-12 had kind of postponed their season, but he's like, look, if I was going to try to get to Washington State, he would have to leave, at a certain time just to get there with so many airlines canceling flights. And then, typically you have responsibilities. Like, I have NFL responsibilities on Sundays. So, if I were to go somewhere to call a game, I would have to get to a place where I could see the game and then also be ready to be on TV. And, with the current kind of airline schedule, it's not the same. So there's a lot that needs to be figured out. And I think people have worked really hard on it. And, I've just trusting that they all have a pretty good solution for it, which I'm sure they do.
Leonard Fournette, just to be released, what were your thoughts about the Jags just saying, goodbye? We can't get anything for you. Goodbye.
I mean, I'm shocked because now maybe it's his salary, he's 25 years old at over 1,000 yards rushing last year as a top five pick when he came out. Like, I'm surprised. Now, I would think that there's more to the story than that, especially when you look at Jacksonville's running back situation. Like, there's not a team that needs a running back more than Jacksonville when you look at their current roster. They have Chris Thompson, who's a change of pace back, and then, you know, a couple of guys that, you know, don't have a combined, you know, 210 yards, you know, in career rushing. So, to me, something else was up from, like, a, I don't know. I mean, I know that he's had issues with the team before about his injuries, and, you know, it hasn't exactly always been smooth sailing there. So I'm surprised that he wasn't claimed. Would have really thought that he would have been, and I feel like there's more to the story here on Leonard Fournette.
If you were the Titans, and the Jags are, I guess, on the hook for $4 million no matter what, right? Even they're going to have to pay him the $4 million. Is that?
Well, that's a dead cap. I don't know that they have to pay him that.
Right.
So I think that's just like dead cap. I don't believe they have to pay him.
Okay.
That since they're
okay. So they're just gonna that's just gonna count, you know, against the cap. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for I don't know what the price. So let's just say $3-4 million. I don't know what the market's going to bear.
Well,
he wasn't.
Everybody
claimed.
Passed on him for $4 million. So let's figure it's going to be less than that.
Okay. So $3 million. Let's just say the number's $3 million. If you're John Robinson, would you be at least having a discussion in a room with the door shut about Henry and Fournette in your backfield?
Yeah, I'd probably talk about it. You know, the thing that would concern me a little bit is, like, Leonard Fournette, okay, not being the guy. And not when I say okay, meaning, like, is he going to be a good teammate? You know, I remember talking to Joey Galloway one time. I forget where he went, but basically he went somewhere and he was just going to be a backup. It was at the very end of his career. And so he literally was going to play, like, I don't know, 10 snaps a game. And so he's standing on the sideline, and it's like, okay, you go in for a play, and then, you know, you run a play, and you just run to the flat, and then you come out, and you stand on the sideline for, you know, another 7 plays, and then you go, and he's like, nope, like, this isn't, I can't do this. I'm done. And I know it's a different scenario. A guy late in his career used to be the guy, and Fournette's just 25. But, like, how does that work? How does that work when you have these guys that, like, you know, the argument is they get stronger as the game goes on? Like, you know, you're not going to run the ball 50 times. So I'm not sure that the Titans are a good fit. Like, I would look at Washington and be like, you know, they just had to cut – you know, guys, they've got a, you know, an older running back in Peterson. Like, maybe that makes sense. Or Seattle or Chicago or, you know, I mean, the Buccaneers. I think there are other places that seem like they would make more sense than the Titans.
I brought to the table that he had 76 receptions last year, which I don't know if a lot of people realize that was, I think, fourth best in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody put a claim in on him. That's really surprising.
Willie, the perplexed tone in your voice is exactly what I am thinking. I'm serious. You mentioned that, like, the production is crazy, and he's 25. And he was the fourth overall pick. Like, he came into the league with as much hype as Ezekiel Elliott.
And yeah, I don't know the variables behind the scenes. I don't know what kind of teammate he is. I don't know what kind of person he is. I understand. There's things I don't know. I simply brought it up in a weird year, which we don't know about positive tests throughout the course of a season, or an injury could happen where Derrick Henry misses 2 or 3, 4 games, what have you, and you are a run-heavy team. You are predicated on running the football and having success running the football to set up everything else. I would think that would be, if you can remember, the right price, and it made sense, and I don't know if it makes sense on what kind of person or teammate he is, that would be something of real interest. That'd be the best 1-2 punch in the league. That's the reason I brought it up.
Yeah, I don't think that he's been a very good teammate. I mean, to answer your question, like, I think that's the key. So, just He hasn't been. So, you know, I think there's been issues with, is he hurt, is he not hurt, what's he doing? You know, I think that he hasn't been a good teammate, you know, and so you know, I don't know the details of it. I don't want to start accusing the guy of things he didn't do, but look, there's a lot of ways you can be a bad teammate. You know, you don't show up for the team plane, you don't go to treatment, you know, you're late for a bunch of things, you know, your interaction with people in the buildings. Like, there are a number of different factors that can lead to not working out, you know, and I just feel like there's something fishy going on here where, you know, Yannick Ngakoue gets traded, basically, you know, gives up $5 million and he gets traded. And then the very next day, you know, Leonard Fournette is just released. Like, to me, like, I just, again, this is total speculation, not reporting this, but like, that just sounds like an environment where, you know, a good player is furious and is like, wait a second, why are we trading good players? And, you know, like, I'm going to be on the worst team in the league this year, you know, goes off, demands a trade, whatever the situation is, and next thing you know, he's cut. So that's what it feels like to me. I don't know if that's what happened, but again, to Willie's point of like, no one claimed him, like, what's going on here with Leonard Fournette?
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck. So let's talk about another guy. And Floyd Reese has said the exact same thing in as many words about Jadeveon Clowney. He keeps asking the question, as we've been asking almost every day throughout the center, what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney? He goes, it makes me wonder what is going on. Why does nobody break down the door to sign this guy? What is going on behind the scenes? Why is this guy still out there? But there has been a lot of talk here, Tim, especially with some of the issues the Titans are dealing with. Vic Beasley hasn't gotten on the practice field yet. They really look like they have a need there. And Jadeveon Clowney has been saying all along, I'm going to wait to the last minute to sign. So what do you think? Should the Titans up their price a little bit? If they've been staying low, like everybody says, that, you know, they've offered, they've lowballed him way less than he wants, what is going to give here? Will somebody go up to get him, or will he have to come down to take an offer somewhere?
Well, I think his price is going to have to go down, or there's going to have to be an injury or something like that. To Floyd's point about, hey, what's going on here? I think it really is about the asking price. You know, we saw it with Logan Ryan, right? I think there was some news out recently where basically, you know, Logan Ryan wanted $10 million a year, and it was like, yeah, you know, not until you drop that price. You drop that price, and all of a sudden you find a home. You know, I think for Clowney, the tricky part is he does have somewhat of an injury history, and so you know, one of the things I learned from just being around Bill Polian were, you know, when guys are free agents, you know, the two biggest factors are age and health, you know, like then production. I mean, that's just how it goes. So he's been productive, but like the health has been a legitimate thing, and not that he's, you know, unhealthy or can't still be productive. I don't even think he's 28 years old yet. I think he can be, but he has been banged up. And then, you know, here comes the production part of it. He had 3 sacks last year. Now, he probably views himself as a double-digit sack guy. The reality is he's never had double-digit sacks in a season. The most he's ever had is 9.5. He had 9 in 2018, and then he had 3 last year. So, you know, if you view yourself as a double-digit sack guy and want to get that type of money, but the rest of the league doesn't view you that way, that's how you're available right now.
We just talked about the Colts in the last hour. How would you compare the Colts and the Titans rosters at this point from where you sit?
Well, I mean, I would think that they're, you know, somewhat similar. I think they're both good. I think, you know, you could probably give the advantage to, you know, each team kind of in certain areas. I think some of them would, you know, could be debatable and up for grabs, but yeah, I think they're similar teams. I think they're teams that have both improved. I think they've both teams have drafted well and, you know, have gotten good young players on their teams. And so I think in many respects they're similar. So if you say, okay, well, how does it, you know, end up playing out? You know, who would you prefer? Like, I think some of it comes down to the quarterback play, or a large part of it comes to the quarterback play. Obviously, health's been a big concern for, you know, the Colts. You know, like T.Y. Hilton's injury situation has, you know, I think hurt that team and their production. I think they've linked a lot of wins and losses to when T.Y. is available and when he's not. You know, and so, you know, I mean, that's how I would see him. I think those are two very good rosters.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, college football analyst as well. And so along those lines, I'm glad Willie brought that up because with in the comparisons with the roster, I mean, you when you go through and you look at the Titans and you say, Derrick Henry, okay, that guy, like if you're an opponent, that guy scares me. Like you know that he can hurt you if he gets going. But with the comparison of the two, I look at the Colts and I think there are a few of those names that you go, okay, well, DeForest Buckner, he can really hurt me. He scares me. T.Y. Hilton, obviously. Can you look at the Titans roster and make more or make a case for more than Henry of being that type of impact player?
Oh, I think you definitely can. I mean, I think you start a quarterback. If you know, Ryan Tannehill plays the way he did, you know, after taking over last year, then, you know, I would think that that's a playing at a level higher than I would expect Phillip Rivers to play at. Look, A.J. Brown, considering what he did as a rookie, yeah, I think A.J. Brown could be one of these guys where people start to look at him, you know, as one of the best receivers in the league. I don't think there's any question that people would feel that way about him. You know, just, I know we, you know, kind of have been talking offensive side of the ball, but like, listen, I think everyone knows what Kevin Byard is. Like, he's a difference maker, you know. Does Harold Landry, does he kind of, you know, take that next step? You know, you guys mentioned Vic Beasley, like what's the story there? So I think they're a difference maker there. But look, when you look at the Colts, you know, I think it's similar thing. Like Darius Leonard's an amazing player. You know, I think that's significant. You know, offensively, I think Marlon Mack's a way better runner than people realize. And so when he's healthy, he's really, really good. So, yeah, I think both teams have talented players, guys that are difference makers and that the other team is legitimately concerned about.
Tim, what did you make of the comments that Kirk Cousins had? He was on Kyle Brandt's podcast and basically, you know, he said he wants to respect other people's concerns when it comes to the virus, but he's one of those that he's just going to live his life and do his normal thing. And he's quoted as saying, and if it knocks me out, it knocks me out. I'm going to be okay, you know, even if I die. If I die, I die. I kind of have peace about that. What did you make of his comments?
Well, I think that portion of his comments, you know, is getting a lot of play. But what he also said was, you know, basically, look, I'm at a 0.000, you know, 1% of, you know, being, you know, kind of being in that situation where, like, if I die, I die. But he said, you know, that's not everyone's situation. I think wearing a mask is about being respectful of those around you, and so that's what I'm going to do, right? I mean, he basically says, I don't think I'm high risk. In fact, I know I'm not high risk, but people around me might be, and so I'm going to wear a mask and take precautions. Like, I actually think what Kirk said is how a lot of people feel, and I think there's an unselfish nature of what Kirk is saying in terms of, hey, listen, let's do this for everyone else that it makes more comfortable, right? That's how I interpreted it, and so I've kind of been going crazy seeing the reaction of, like, hey, this is irresponsible. He's a kind of in a position of, you know, influence and leadership, you know, to, so to say, like, to be reckless. And, like, I don't think that that's what he's doing. I think what he's saying is, look, we need to get on with our lives, but let's be respectful and courteous of everyone around us who may feel like they're more susceptible than you individually feel. I mean, that's how I took it. I don't know if that's how you guys took it, but that's definitely
that's how I took it. I think you've hit it right on the head. You know, I think when you say, if I die, I die, that becomes the headline. And I'm not sure people read the whole answer to the question.
Right. Like, I guess, you know, like for me, I don't feel like I'm high risk. Okay, I'm in my early 40s. You know, I'm healthy. I don't have any underlying health conditions. But I wear a mask when I go out anywhere, you know, and not because it's like mandatory, but because, you know, I may be around somebody that isn't like that. And so, do I like wearing a mask? No, but I don't feel like I'm doing it for me. So I feel like that's exactly what Kirk Cousins is saying. But you're right. Like, I guess we grabbed onto the if I die, I die thing. But I also think what he's saying is, look, it doesn't make sense to say you're never going to leave your house. It also doesn't make sense to say, hey, you know, I'm just going to be reckless about this. And I think if more people took that approach, it would be a less divisive issue and more of a, hey, let's hopefully just get this under control so that, you know, we don't all have to just, you know, hide, you know, for the next year.
Tim, I want to get your opinion on something we were talking about earlier about college football particularly. Darren brought up with the Pac-12, if Pete Carroll were still around, a guy that had a ton of pull in college football, obviously it was a different time for USC. Is there more conversation about the Pac-12 and whether they should play or not? And I know the presidents were the ones that voted. They made the decision. But if you look at the SEC, we know that the power of Saban is behind the scenes. We know that in the ACC, it's Dabo, it's Lincoln Riley in the Big 12. How much of a difference do you think that these coaches that have a ton of respect and pull in their conferences and college football overall, how much of a difference do you think it could have made in some of these decisions?
Yeah, I think it could have made a bit of a difference. You know, maybe with a school here or a school there, but I don't think that if Pete Carroll was still in the, you know, in the Pac-12, that was going to influence Cal's decision, you know, president's decision or Stanford's president's decision. I don't think that it would have done that. And I think that Nick Saban's influence, you know, certainly, and we've heard kind of his position on feeling like the players are safer in the facility. I guarantee you that you know, has influence at Alabama, but, you know, that's not going to have influence at Vanderbilt, you know, or Tennessee for that matter, you know. So I don't know. I don't think it would necessarily be different. I just know this. I think that, you know, you take the Big Ten, for example. Once they said this cardiomyopathy, you know, long-term issue, heart condition because of the virus, once they said that was an issue and that their medical advisors were basically saying, you know, because of that, like, we need to not go ahead right now, I think it painted themselves into a corner that it doesn't matter what a head coach says at that point. Then it's, I think, this president, you know, a president's decision. And, you know, when that's your medical panel's advice, you know, what do you do with that? So it's interesting. I was on a call with the NFL earlier this week, and they're aware of, you know, what people are saying about that. But I think it's their understanding that there isn't a current link to that. And there isn't anybody that is kind of, tested, you know, that way or dealt with, you know, that condition, either a staff member or a player, since having the virus.
And that'll get better in November or December or January, whenever they decide they are going to do this?
That's what I'm saying. I don't, like, can you do that now? It's a little bit like one of these things. It would be like, no, you can't. You know, that's what I'm saying about painting themselves into a corner.
Right.
You know, so basically saying, like, no, heart condition. Well, so now what you have to do is now either that doctor has to be like, I was wrong, I missed it, you know, and then how do you prove that?
Right.
So I think once they did that, once they kind of made that link, and again, this call that I was on with the NFL, you know, one of the things that the doctor brought up was, look, you know, a lot of times viruses, it's what they do, is they do cause there are a bunch of viruses that will cause an inflammation, you know, in your heart. But like making that direct link, you know, I think I don't know that every, you know, medical panel has come to the same conclusion on it. And so, yeah, I just think it once you did that, now all of a sudden it got really messy. And I don't know that a coach or a player or a parent's petition or anything like that, you know, can absolve you of having that finding and kind of like probably the legal ramifications that you're opened up to because of it.
Yep. Good stuff as always. We appreciate the visit. Look forward to it again next week. You have a good rest of your week.
Cool. All right. See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck, High Noon every Wednesday here on the program, and we always look forward to that conversation. We come back, we should have Titans linebackers coach Shane Bowen join us next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.